Yes. Every pastor's dream to preach on this. It always goes so well in today's world. But we must speak on it because the scriptures spoke about it, right? It must be talked about. And so we finished off chapter 2 last Sunday, and we're talking about what did Jesus do in the midst of his suffering? What did he do? And we've talked about this in other messages, but I think in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, I never want us as a church to forget these words. When they hurled their insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to his Father, to him who judges justly. And that is our response in the midst of retaliation and men's hurt and women's hurt and the marginalizing and the slandering and the hurtful things that are done. It's going to happen, right? If it happened to Jesus, what are the chances it's going to happen to us? Look at how Jesus' life went. That's our leader. How do you think our lives are going to go? Oh, peachy keen, tickety-boo, no problems. Right? No. He suffered greatly at the hands of men and women. Right? And so we're going to run into these things. And so Peter is encouraging his readers, his brothers and sisters. Christianity is just starting to explode, and society doesn't like it. Nero wants to put an end to it. He's torturing them. He's killing them. But you try to kill Jesus, what does he do? He will just rise again. Right? He is a God that cannot be killed. Amen? He is alive and well. And so that is our response to suffering in this world, to hurt. And the thing that I really love about this that God brought to my attention is when they hurled their insults at Jesus, he didn't retaliate against men, but also he didn't retaliate against his Father, right? He didn't say, God, I can't believe you're putting me through this. I can't believe I have to go through this. He did not retaliate against those men who were causing hurt to him, who were hurling insults, but he also didn't retaliate against his Father. And when he suffered, he made no threats to those men around him, but he also didn't make threats against his Father. How many of us have done this before? And I'm guilty of it. I'll just be the first to admit, right? That when you're going through something difficult, we say, God, why? Right? How can you allow this to happen, Lord? How can you do this to me? Anybody said those words before? Why are you making me go through this right now? What did I do to deserve this? Well, what did he do to deserve what he went through? Did he do anything? Did he deserve any of what he got? No. No. And this is what Peter's trying to get at. Our response, I love this. And I think I told you the story when I was going through my whole, I'm going to figure out the purpose of suffering in the Christian life. Because at one point in my early time when I was just a young pastor, I had so many people hurting around me. And I began to question the Lord. God, why? Why? Do you know what I've decided? I've decided that why is a divine prerogative. Why? Asking why is a divine prerogative. We can't ask why. Why? Because we see limitedly. Right? We don't have the bird's eye view on life. We don't see our beginning and our end and how everything fits in between those two points, do we? But he does. See, that's why God doesn't ever get worried, because he sees it all. Amen? Right? So why? Asking why is the wrong question to ask. That's why he says, give thanks in all things. I got you. Right? I've got you. This life is temporary, isn't it? I think we forget that sometimes. We put so much stock because this is my life, but this is all preparation for eternity in heaven with him. Amen. Right? Who feels like they got lots to learn yet? Yeah, right? Oh, man, Lord, I still got so much to learn. But what I do know is that I'm enjoying the contrast. Right? I think I've told you before, my wife thinks I have the weakest stomach alive. But when I travel, I get sick all the time. And I'm just getting sick. And it's horrible having to get up and speak when you're sick like that. Right? But you know what I've discovered? In this world here, in my sickness, I discovered a God who came and comforted me and got me through that. Right? Without that, I never would have experienced that, would I? So some of these things where we have contrast here on earth, I'm grateful for because I discovered more of him. Amen? I just got to discover more of him. Jesus did not retaliate against his Father or against men. And when he suffered, he didn't make threats against men or his Father. Instead, here is our response. We entrust ourselves to our good, good Father. Amen? Didn't we just sing the goodness of God? There's a reason why I picked that today. Right? He's a good, good Father. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Go on, Chad. Wives, in the same way. In the same way of what? What is he saying there? Wives, in the same way. Well, we have to flip back to chapter 2 and starting at verse 18. Slaves, in reverent fear. Now, God, is he calling women slaves? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he said wives in the same way. And here's the same way that he was talking about in verse 18. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. Not that your husbands are your masters per se. Okay, he's saying in the same way. Am I making that clear? Right? I want to make that clear. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. I think I mentioned it to you last Sunday. I remember this one wife, she came to me and she said, "You mean I have to submit to that idiot husband of mine?" And I said, "Well, sister, there's only some things you can learn submitting to an idiot that you can't learn anywhere else." So amen. That's the call. Right? That is the call. Slaves in reverent fear. So he's saying wives in the same way. In the same way as what? To what Peter was referring to in verse 18 of chapter 2. Slaves in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. Not only to those who are good and charitable and nice and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if you bear up under the pain of unjust suffering, because you are conscious of God. How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Don't you love Peter's logic here? Right? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before Father. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So wives, in the same way as that, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words. I love what St. Francis of Assisi said, and I think you've heard me say this before, but he said, "Preach the gospel at all times. Always be preaching the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." Right? If necessary, use the word. May your life, may the life of Christ shine so through you. May his life be expressed out of you. May his love and his encouragement and everything about him be squeezed out of you as an example to those around you. Amen? What is that word submit? Is it that I want to squish Tracy under my thumb? You better do what I say, woman. Submit to me. Is that what he's saying? No. I'm sure some men would love that. Honey, I say jump, you say how high, dear. That is not what he's referring to in submission. Right? That is not what he means. You better do what I say. A wise husband, when it comes to decision making, will always run everything by his wife. Do you know how many fires I've avoided by approaching my wife with an idea that I had that I thought was amazing? And I thought, oh, this is so good. And I'm the head of the home. And she's the neck that turns the head, as they say. No. Well, yes. And she'd come and say, Chad, but if you do that, this, this, and this, and this will happen. And I think about it, and I'm like, ooh, she's right. It was wise. Because the two shall become one flesh. Right? The two shall become one. Right? The word, the best translation, as it says in Genesis, is he made the woman to be a helpmate. Right? To help the man because he was so lonely. Right? She's there to help the man, to support the man, a helpmate. She is not there to be squeezed under your thumb, husbands. That is not what Peter is talking about when he refers to wives submit to your husbands. In the same way as slaves to the masters, right? Whether they're nice or not, right? Wives submit to your husband. Now, wives, here is your way out. Here is your way out. Because sometimes you're like, wow, I have to submit to this crazy man right now. I feel like he's in a crazy mode right now. He's living in an insane condition. Husbands, can we do some insane, stupid things? Mm-hmm. Yes, we can, right? Maybe not all of us, but definitely some of us, right? And so, wives, what is your way out? Your way out always, when you're having such a hard time disagreeing with your husband's decisions or decision, is always to see the God that is above the man. Amen? That is your way out. You have to see the God that is above that man. If you just look at the man, you're going to get awfully depressed. I promise. Amen? Right? Like I've said, if you think about me too long, you'll get depressed. I promise you. But if you think about the one who lives in me, that will not depress you. Amen? So women, when you're struggling to submit, to come under that or alongside of that, you have to remember, look to the God who's above the man. Amen? Look to him. Say, Lord, would you help me? Because I'm having a hard time with this decision. I'm having a hard time with his lifestyle, his choices. Now, would God ever ask you to follow your husband who's walking away from the Lord? No. Right? So I want to make that clear. Right? The Bible talks about that in other circumstances. Right? If you deny me on earth, you will be denied in... Right? Right? So if your husband's asking you to do that, don't do it. Right? Right? But when it comes to these things where you're like, I just don't understand what he's doing. I don't understand his choices. I don't understand his way of life. But God, I will look to you who's above him. And I trust you. I remember Tracy used to say, well, I trust you. I said, whoa, don't do that. Don't trust me. Trust God with me. It's just a better way. Please just trust God with me because I will make mistakes. Do you know actually most men would love their wives to lead? And most wives would love to lead? And God asked the opposite? Why is that? Right? Why is that? Because he takes the weak things of the world, right? There's something to learn in husbands having to lead and wives having to follow. Amen? He ordained it that way. I did not. right? It's the way that he ordained it. But it's not to be squished under somebody's thumb. Am I clear on that? Right? Right. Tracy and I, how do we do it then? How do we do it when there's a time frame on a decision? Right? Because normally if we don't agree on something, okay, end of discussion. We're not in unison because we're one, right? We're one. Do you know if you throw dirt on your spouse, you're just losing ground? Right? Right? Because when you throw dirt on your spouse, who are you also throwing dirt on? Yourself. How wise is that? That's why it never feels good to slander your spouse, to bring hurt towards them, because you're one with them. It will never feel good. Amen? It just won't. It won't, because the two have become one. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. Amen? The purity and the reverence, how you revere God. How he is Lord above everything in your life. And how you honor Father God. Amen? I remember we ran into this one lady, this one wife. And some have a hard time believing the story, but it's a true story. And her husband, you know, you have happy alcoholics, you have melancholy alcoholics, you have physically abusive alcoholics. Well, this one husband was physically abusive. And people are like, you need to leave, get out of there. And she goes, I know I should, but I don't have peace. And we're like, well, you got a misguided sense of peace. And she goes, no, I'm called to stay. And she would clean up her own blood and clean herself up. And then she'd come in and see her husband and say, honey, can I get you your slippers? And would you like, you had a long day, can I get you something to eat? You know, it weirded out the husband so bad that he left on his own. Right? Because out of his abusiveness as an evil, she returned good. And we're going to read about that a little later on. For his evil, she returned good. And it was such contrast that he couldn't handle it. And it made him feel so bad, right? I just beat her. She just cleaned up her own mess and offered to serve me. And he left. He couldn't handle it. Well, amen. I guess we don't always know what is good in every situation, do we, or what is bad. That's why he said, do not eat from that tree. Don't eat from it. All right, submit. Submit is not to push under your thumb. You better do as I say. Submission is a reverent fear before the Lord. Amen? And if you're having trouble under the spouse that you're with, remember this. Always see the God who's above that man. That is your way out. Amen? Right? I've talked to so many wives who are like, oh, my husband is an idiot. He's so mean. He's so harsh. He makes selfish decisions just for him, what's best for him, not for us and the kids. How do I do this? You have to see the God who's above him. Right? Adorn yourselves how the women of old did it. We'll read about that in a second. Right? Live your life as they did. See the purity and reverence of your lives. Amen. We have to see the God above the man. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Who likes elaborate hairstyles? Who loves fine jewelry? Yes. Oh, come on, preach it, preach it. Right? We love to adorn ourselves with these things. But let me bring you back to Proverbs, where it talks about this. Proverbs, and everybody's heard this, it's usually read on Mother's Day all the time. Proverbs 31, which says this. Verse 30 of chapter 31 of Proverbs. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord, that person is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. What's the theme here? But a woman who fears the Lord, a reverent fear, right? Not a scared of God, but a reverent fear, this respect for him and what he's called of you. Amen? As wives. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Well, it's fleeting faster in others more than others, isn't it? My goodness. Do you know how much work it took to look like this? Long time. Beauty is fleeting. It does not last. But what about inner beauty? Right? That lasts forever. That does not flee away. Amen? I want to talk about that a little bit more in just one second. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. Honey, would you love to call me your Lord? May I get your slippers, my Lord? Well, I don't think we're going to hear that in this day and age, are we? But that's how Sarah did it. Peter wrote it down. This is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They did it by submitting themselves to their husbands, like Sarah who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. Lowercase L, not capital L. Her Lord. Isn't that interesting? You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. What is the fear? That there will be nothing left of me if I give way to him. Isn't that true? There'll be nothing left of me. That is every wife's fear over my years of counseling. But there'll be nothing left of me. Man, you know the call to leadership? Whew, like, look at the hairs on my arm. I tremble a little bit under that because I'm responsible under the Lord. I am called to make decisions that aren't selfish about me and what I want. He's calling me to make decisions for the whole family, for my wife and my kids, and what's best for us as a whole, not just for me, right? And our flesh has selfish desires, doesn't it? That's why it's so important, as Paul says, to walk in the Spirit. Men, husbands, we must walk in the Spirit. Because if we don't, we will make selfish decisions about us, which is dishonoring before the Lord. Amen? It's dishonoring. And I don't want to be dishonoring before the Lord, so I walk in a bit of trembling. Oh, Lord, could she just lead instead? But I've called you, oh man, to lead. And that call is a high calling, isn't it? Because Jesus said in another portion of scriptures, husbands, love your wives as I have loved the church. Right? And how much did he love the church? He gave his life for the church, didn't he? It's a high calling. So leadership is not everything it's packed up to be, per se. Right? It's a call to humility. And it's a call to walk humbly before your God and make sure that you're making decisions that are not fulfilling your fleshly desires, but that are honoring before the Lord. So Peter says to the wives, rather, right, adorn yourselves. It should be that of your inner self, not your outer self. Remember, we've talked about this. There's two lives that the Bible refers to. Our outer life, which was formed in the womb of our mothers, right? Our body, our skin, right? Organs, everything that you see. But then there's your inner life, which is either Christ's life or Adam's life, depending on whether you've invited Christ into your life or not. Amen? Right? So that's what he's talking about, your inner self. He wants you to, rather, it should be your inner self. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, your outer life, right? It should come from your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, the Brethren Church literally took that to heart, because the women in the Brethren Church, they couldn't speak up at all. They had to wear doilies on their heads and be quiet and just obey the men on everything that they did. Well, I don't think that was what, it was very quiet in the church actually, right? But that is not, that was a cultural thing. It was a cultural thing, right? So your beauty should not come from outward adornment. It should be your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Amen? Gentle and quiet, right? In Isaiah 30, it says, in returning and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, right? Quietness and trust. There is a strength in being, having a quiet spirit and being gentle. Amen? There's a strength in that. You ever go by that stream, right? That's just gently flowing. It's quiet. But you see strength in that. Amen? That's what I picture in here. That is what Peter is referring to. Women in North America and in Europe, as I've traveled around the world, because I've had the privilege of doing that, most women in these two continents find their beauty in their outer life. Right? And that's what's promoted in magazines, in newspapers, on TV, in movies, right? If you're a size zero, with all the right curves in the right places, you're a winner, right? And yet, when I go to some other cultures, right, a size zero is like, oh, I want a size 16, please, right? In that culture, that's what's beautiful. It's interesting, isn't it? Right? The outward, it's fleeting. It's going away. Thank the Lord. I really focus on my inner. Can't you tell?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I should look after this because it's what's carrying my spirit around right now, right? Amen. We still need to look after it. But it's what's in here, ladies. Right? The deepest core of who you are, right, is not this, it's this. That's where the focus needs to be, because that's the deepest core, right? We have to go deeper, right? Body's here, soul, spirit. That is the deepest core. That's where I want you ladies to find your identity, not in how you look. Looking like you're from a gang with the skin going on. Right? But let's look deeper than that. When I give Deb a hug, I don't see here. Doesn't she have a beautiful spirit? Right? It's what I love about Deb. Right? I don't even see that. Isn't it interesting? That's why my wife still loves me, because she doesn't even see this anymore. Thank God. But what's in here, amen? That's what counts. And I know it seems so obvious, but obviously it isn't in our world today, is it? Right? Don't adorn yourself with all the stuff that's going on in the body. Adorn with that gentle and quiet spirit. Right? How the women of old did it. This is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. My liege, my Lord. You are her daughters, wives. Women, you are Sarah's daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear that if I submit to this man, there'll be nothing left of me. Peter says, put your hope in God. See the God above the man. Amen? You have to. It's your only way out, to see the God above the man. Husbands, we cannot leave this Sunday without referring to you. Husbands, verse 7, in the same way, be considerate. Right? That I was referring to. Right? I'm not going to just squish my wife under the... I'm going to be considerate. And in fact, over the years, I've come to love how God has wired my wife. She's just better. Do you know she fixes the things at her house? She is more gifted at it than I am. That's hard to say in a manly world today. Well, who fixed that? My wife did. She fixed the vacuum cleaner. She fixed the dishwasher, right? Well, amen. God has gifted her in so many ways. And husbands, if you don't tap into how God has made your wife, you are missing out on so much. So much. So he says, husbands, be considerate as you live with your wife. Be considerate of her and what I've called her to. Don't make it hard for her. Make it easy for her. Treat her with respect as the weaker partner. What does he mean by that? She's lesser? Does weaker mean lesser? No. What is he saying by weaker partner? Well, the man is usually physically, right, stronger, correct? Right? So that is what Peter's referring to here. As heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, treat your wife with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you, right? Not under you, right? The word is with you, alongside of you, not under you. How many have worked for bosses that you worked under them, and how many of you worked for bosses that you worked alongside of them? There's two big differences, isn't there? One's a very authoritarian, top-down. The other's more of a team player. Yeah, when it comes to the end, I'll make the decision because the buck will stop at me. But I want to work. I hired you as a team. Let's work alongside of each other. Amen? Peter uses the word as heirs with you, not under you. You're both under whose authority? The Lord's. Of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will what? Hinder your prayers. If you are treating your wife in a dishonoring way, it will hinder your prayers. Any husbands ever notice that? I haven't behaved perfectly. I've made some bad decisions with my wife, and it has hindered my prayers. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Right? So the call to husbands that Peter is saying is, please be considerate as you live with them. Be considerate of what I've called them. I've asked them to follow your lead. So walk in the Spirit. Live out of the identity that I've given to you now, not the world. Live out of that so you can lead them in a God-honoring way. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you, not under you, of this gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Amen? That is honoring to the Lord. Husbands, in the same way as he talked about slaves with their masters, submit yourselves to your husbands. And husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. Would we not have healthy marriages if we just followed those? The problem is today is wives want to read the husband's mail and the husbands want to read the wife's mail, right? Husbands, you read your own mail, and wives, you read yours. Husbands, don't read the wife's mail. That was to her from the Lord, right? And wives, you read your mail, not your husband's. Amen? It'll cause a lot less issues, I promise you. Do you like it when somebody opens up your mail and reads it? No. That was to me, addressed to me. Don't open my mail. Amen? The divorce rate is so high today for a reason. It's because still today, husbands are looking to get their needs met from their wives, and wives are looking to their husbands to get their needs met. And it doesn't work, does it? Only God alone can meet those needs for you. That's why Peter keeps referring to God, fearing God, right? Look to him. Put your hope in him with a reverent fear. If you're feeling unloved, do not bring it up with your spouse. Bring it up with the Lord. Because there's other ways that God can show you that you're loved, can't he? Because sometimes husbands and wives, we don't get along, do we? Can we all admit that? And we might not get along for months, for years, right? I've seen it. I've counseled people in it, right? So how are you going to feel loved if you're looking to your spouse and for years it's been gone awry? How are you going to survive? You will not. You have to look for your love from the Lord. How many of you have felt loved through a friend? Well, the deception was thinking that it was the friend. It was just how God was meeting it for you through your friend, right? Does PCC make sure that I have my bread to eat and food and drink to drink? No, it's the way that God's choosing as part of a way of provision for me right now, right? I have to see the God above it all, right? It's the same thing in our marriages. Do not look to your spouse for love, right? If God chooses to allow you to feel love and sense love through them, well, amen. But the deception thinking it was them, it was how God was meeting your need through them. Amen? How many of you felt a sense of purpose through your work? Right? Yeah. He can give you that sense through that. But the deception is thinking that it's your work. It's just how God chose to meet that need of purpose in your life was through your work that day. Amen? The whole point is to look to who? The Lord. See the God who's above the man for the woman and the man. We have to see him. Amen? Now, how's that on what is submission? Hey, not so bad, hey? Right? Christians have been accused of being so chauvinistic. Right? Oh, women are nothing. In your Bible. No, you've misunderstood my God. Let me redefine that for you. Amen? Aren't you encouraged? Right? There's hope in the Lord. All right. We're going to move on to the second half of chapter 3 next. Well, actually, not next week. Mr. Ross Plews will be here because I have wedding stuff to attend to. But Ross is going to come and preach here next Sunday. And then we'll continue in the second half of chapter 3 the following Sunday after that. Amen? Give Ross a warm welcome. Let him know he's loved and appreciated, please, as he comes and takes over for us. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you. Thank you for the truth that you have given to us that sets us free. Lord, even when I work with a spouse who's ever so difficult, can make life so difficult, God, would you allow us to see hope, a certain hope in you that we look to our reverent God that we give reverence to. Lord, let us see you who is above the man. Let us see you who's above the woman. God, you are above. I have to see you. If I don't see you, Lord, I'll be so quickly discouraged. But if I see you, God, I'm encouraged because I know you're working everything for my good. Lord, help us. All of the marriages in this church, the wives and the husbands, I pray that what is spoken about here in Peter comes to fruition in their marriage. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, the sun is now shining. I let me exit you into a brand new week.